Shirley Lott in the house today. I saw her come in. It's been a couple of months or so. She has been dealing with back surgery and all of that, but it's wonderful to see you, Miss Shirley, today. So glad that you are here. Amen. I'm jumping into a new series today, and I'm really excited about this series called Home Improvement. Home Improvement. And honestly, this series is really going to go back and forth between your house and this house, between your family and this family, our corporate family. I want to talk to you about both because I think both are very, very important. So I want you to lean in over the next few weeks. I know it's summertime and you're going to grab a weekend or get some vacation. We're going to do that as well. I encourage you to do that. But on the Sundays that you're in town, I encourage you to be faithful to the house of God. I don't want to just go through summer. I want to grow through summer. Amen. We've got so much good momentum right now, so many good things happening around the church that I don't want summer and warm weather to derail all the good things that God is doing. I want to see him just continue to work so that when we begin pushing into the fall that, man, we've got a lot of steam and so many, many good things are happening. But to talk about our house, to talk about our church and how we improve as a church, really that has to begin with us improving as families, because our church is only as strong as our family units are. So I know where that begins. I know how we build a strong church, and I want a strong, growing, life-giving church here in Newton County. We have many wonderful churches. I'm thankful for that. I'm not responsible for them. I'm not called to lead them. I'm called to lead this church, and I want this church to be strong. I want this church to do what God has called us to do. It's not about competition with any other church. I bless all of them. I pray for them when I drive by them. If I meet their leaders or members in town, I'm always thrilled for what God's doing there. But I know and sense and am aware of what God wants to do here. And I know how that happens. It happens with strong families. It happens with you and I being strong in the right areas, with you and I being spiritually strong, with you and I being God strong, having a very God-focused home and a God-centered home. And I know this, that a strong man, he trickles down to a blessed woman, and a blessed woman trickles down to whole children. And I realize today that that's the model family, if you will, a mom and a dad and children, a husband and wife and children. But I realize that may not be what your family looks like right now. It may be a father who's leading kids. It may be a mom who's the spiritual head of the house or the authority in the house. I understand. I was raised by a single mother. My father left when I was about 5 years old, and she remarried when I was turning 16 years old. So for the lion's share of those formative years, it was just my mom doing the very best that she could, and she did a great job, and she was and is an incredible woman, and I'm thankful for all that she did to try to hold the home together. But I realize the home is not so model anymore. It's not so nuclear anymore. It's not so normal anymore, because we have all kinds of different situations that are going on. But regardless of what your home looks like, I want you to get excited about and commit to building a strong house, building a strong home, building a house that we want to live in, building a church that we want to attend, having the life that we want to have. And maybe, just maybe, it's time for an upgrade. Maybe it's time for an upgrade. Maybe it's time for some remodeling in your life. How many have ever gone through a remodel project in your home? Anyone? Oh yeah, lots of hands. You've gone through remodeling projects. It could be painting a room. It could be tearing out old carpet and putting new carpet in. It could be ripping out an old bathroom or changing out kitchen countertops. But you get ready for remodel because you just know it's time for a change. Maybe something has lost its value. It doesn't look appealing anymore. And so you go in and you try to figure out, how can I make this better? How can I fix this up so this is a house that I want to live in? And that's what I'm teaching today, that we're ready for remodel. It may be your house. It may be your family that needs a makeover, that needs a remodel, that needs some touch-up, some freshening up. It may be our church that needs some improvement in this area or in that area. And so we're going to talk about it over the next few weeks, and I want you to be a part of it. Joshua 24. Let me read a couple of verses of scripture. Joshua 24, beginning at verse number 14. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The King James says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He speaks of his house as his family. I speak of this house as our church family. Our church is not this building you're sitting in today. The building is just a tool. It's a very expensive tool, but it's just a tool. The building is just a place. It's just a shelter. The church is the people that make up this assembly. So as for me and my house, for me and my family, I'm in this New Living Translation today because I want to talk to you specifically about our families. As for me and my family, obviously Joshua is reaching for the sensibilities of people. And he's teaching, listen, if you're going to serve the Lord, then serve the Lord. If you're going to live for God, then live for God with everything that you have. If you're, I remember hearing a pastor speaking to just a group of guys, and there were different ones asking questions and vacillating between this idea and that idea. And finally, the mentor in the session, he looked at one guy and he said, "You know what you need to do? You need to pick a team and play hard, because right now you're cheering for both opinions, you're cheering for both sides." And Joshua said, "I need you to know that that's impossible when it comes to living for God. You can't do both at the same time. You can't live for God and live for the world. You can't just vacillate back and forth. You can't just ride the fence or stand straddling the line with one foot in both worlds. You've got to make a decision what you are going to do." And they're talking about their ancestors. They're talking about the generations before them and how they worshiped and who they worshiped and what they did and the things that they tried and all of the various things that they believed. And maybe they did it a different way. But he's saying, "You know what? You know better now." We're not talking about your family. We're not speaking ill of the generations before you because they walked this path. All we know is that we know better, and so we are doing better. I'm not responsible for the generations that have gone on before me. I can't rewrite that history or undo any decision that they made. All I know is that for me and my house, the people that I'm leading, the people that I am responsible to, those that I am responsible for, we are going to serve the Lord. Because the Bible, beginning to end, is about making a choice. Everything in the Bible, it's about making a choice. It's about deciding who you will serve and what kind of house you will live in. I realize we inherit things. We get things passed down to us. There are things that we inherit. There are things that are given to us. I remember one friend who was called to an attorney's office, and they were completely blown away. Didn't know why they were coming. They just said there was the reading of a will, and they didn't even know of anyone in their family who had died. They had no clue. They're checking with everybody's okay. No one's died. What is going on? We've not heard anything about a death. But they get to this attorney's office, and there is a cousin. There's some relative in their family who they had never met. They didn't know them. They had never had any interaction with them. They'd never been to family reunions with them. Didn't sit at their Thanksgiving table. Didn't know these people from Adam. Yet they are related, and sitting in this attorney's office, they find out that they have been left $500,000. So somebody I know personally, they've been left. I mean, does that not sound fantastic? Get left by money by family that you don't even have to put up with. I mean, this is great. You don't have to ever eat their food, or I mean, this is great. Yeah. Sometimes you inherit things from people, and they're great, valuable, wonderful things. And other times you inherit things, generational things get passed down that are bad, and you really want nothing to do with them. You don't want to maintain that attitude. You don't want to maintain that mindset. You don't want to continue on with that way of thinking. You want to get as far away from that as possible. But how do I get away from that if I'm related to them, or I live in the same county as them, or if, you know, I still have to interact with them and are connected to them? You do that by setting boundaries. You do that by making clear distinctions. Listen, I'm your daughter. I'm your son. I'm your brother. I'm your relative. But look, there's some things that we just do not do. There's some things that we are just not a part of. We don't talk like that, or think like that, or live like that, or raise our kids that way. We're just not going to do. You set boundaries. Just because you're related to them does not give them a right to speak or pronounce or to lead those in your house in a negative way. I know it's tight. I'm messing with y'all's family today, but just buckle your seatbelt and it'll get worse. Amen. Joshua said, but for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. I want you to notice the order that Joshua gives. The order that Joshua goes in. He said, as for me. Some of you are saying, oh, that's just a typical male. He's going to make sure that, you know, he gets what he wants first. He's going to make sure that he's served first. But this is the correct order. Joshua said, look, I can't ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. I can't ask something from you that I am not willing to do as well. So this commitment, it begins with me. It begins with me in his role as leader, in his role as house authority, if you will, in his role as head of house. You may be the head of your house. So this desire to serve the Lord as a family, it has to start with you. It has to begin there. What am I going to do? You may think it's a good idea for them, and I want you to do this, and you're going to listen to what I say. But me, I had an instructor in college who set me down one day, and he said, I'm going to ask you to do some things that you've never seen me do. I'm going to require some things of you that I don't even require of myself. And I said, you know, this meeting is not going very well. This is not going to work. You're not doing a good job selling this to me. What do you mean you're going to ask me to do something that you yourself are not willing to do? We have the old saying, do as I say, not as I do. That's terrible advice. It's terrible advice. And this generation that's coming up now, the ones that we're raising, the ones that we're hoping will follow in our footsteps, if you say that to them, they will laugh right to your face. Because it's not about doing what you say, it's all about your actions, it's all about what you've exampled, it's all about what you have shown them how to do, what you have led them to do by example. And that's probably one of the biggest disconnects between the older generation and the younger generation, because the older generation that was here, we were raised in a very top-down, head-down authority structure. We just did whatever parents told us to do, and there were no questions asked. We just did it, whether we understood it or not. But these kids that we've given birth to, these offspring, we keep trying to dismiss them, but they're ours. They carry our name. They're related to us. We have the same DNA. We keep talking about millennials. The millennials are related to us. They're ours. So we got to figure out how to communicate with them and lead them and help them and get from them what we need from them, and they get from us what they need from us. And do as I say and not as I do is not going to work. It's not going to work. So the success of your family, the success of your house, it begins with you. 2019 houses. It's not always a man leading. It's not always. It may be a lady, a mom, as the head of your house, and that's okay. But when it is appropriate, and when that structure is in place, it is proper, it is biblical for the man to be the head of that house. Not one single amen. I see that freaks us out, because all we hear nowadays is toxic masculinity. Men are in trouble everywhere they turn, no matter what they do. I'm not saying there aren't some bad ones out there. I'm not saying there aren't some real jerks out there, and I'm certainly not suggesting any kind of a dictatorship in your life where the man rules with an iron fist. No, but hear me today. The world has perverted real authority. We live in a day where kids divorce their parents, where toxic masculinity, it splashes the headlines now weekly. If a man holds the door for a woman. I held the door for one woman a while back, and she said, I don't need you to do that for me. And I said, I didn't do it for you. I did it for me. What you gonna say now? People are silly. People are silly these days. And to the point that even teaching biblical principles, it makes people nervous, because real authority has been perverted. And hear me loud and clear. Today is your first day, and you're like, I don't know about this church, and I don't know what he's saying. Just hang around a little while, because there is nothing in me. We celebrate women. We have women that lead in this church, women who do all kinds. I'm not against a woman being an authority. I think that's proper and right and as it should be, and we're making adjustments and things all over this house to make sure that we are diverse in all areas, not just racially, but male and female. All of those things are so very, very important in 2019. But hear me, there is a right way. There is a right way. God had instituted a right way. He wants you to be the head of your house. He wants you to be the priest of your home. He wants you to be spiritual. Here's the deal, Pastor Darrell. My 14-year-old or my 15-year-old or my 13-year-old or my 10-year-old, they say they don't want to come to church. Well, I don't know what to tell you, but the church is not the problem here. That's not the problem. The problem is your house. Your house has not been remodeled and established. Maybe it's time to pull up some old carpets, some old ways of thinking, some old foundational boards. Maybe it's time for those things to be flipped and reworked and repainted and reupholstered and remodeled so that you are living the life that God has intended for you to live. We're talking about home improvement. I want a better house. I want a better life. I want a better church. And so sometimes you have to take a hard look at these things so that you can be who God has called you to be. If I want my house to worship, then worship starts with me. If I want my house to pray, then prayer starts with me. If I want my family to serve, then serving starts with me. If I want my family to give, then giving starts with me. Maybe this is why our houses need some remodeling. Maybe a reset is in order. Maybe we need to go through and make a list. What areas do we need to change? Maybe we've become too sarcastic. Maybe we've become too free with the clapback. Maybe we need to come in and just settle some things down or reset some things, remodel some things. Is this all right today? Is this too much for your summer Sunday? I mean, I'm going to do it anyway. I just want to make sure you're okay with it. Hallelujah. So let me give you a punch list today. Usually when you're remodeling, you got a punch list. These are the things. We want to get this room first and that room, and then we want to deal with this and deal with that. So here's the punch list today. If you want to write these down, I promise you, these are areas in your house that you are going to want to address. You may not be able to do them all this afternoon. You may not be able to get to all of them this week. But at some point, you're going to want to talk your way through these, because these are things that will absolutely make a difference in your home. If you want to remodel, if you want a better life, these are things that you can do. Number one is hurry home. Hurry home. What does that mean? That means you need to do your best to make your schedule spiritual. You want to fight for family time. Get back to family time. I realize we are all too busy. We are busier than we have ever been. We are running around like crazy people. Running. Everyone is busy. Everyone in the family is busy. And it's gotten to the place that I cannot even determine my own schedule until I get everyone else's schedule. Namely, until I get my 15-year-old schedule. And now my soon-to-be 13-year-old schedule, because they're just as busy. They've got CY, and we got this at school, and we got this that we want to be at, and I've got this plan, and I've got that plan, and now how do I even arrange my own life? We're all very, very busy. He has a schedule, and she has a schedule, and they have a schedule. I just know that as a kid, I wasn't nearly as busy as mine are. But that's 2019. We're moving fast. We're busier than we have ever been. And so while it would be easy for you, sir, or you, ma'am, to just stay at the office a little longer, or just put another couple of hours in, or I'm just going to go in on Saturday just for a little while, or you know what, I'm hoping Sunday is going to let out here soon, because I need to get back to some work. I need to go and tackle this or tackle that. Listen, you've got to somehow arrange the schedule, arrange the calendar, arrange your life that you can get back home. I know you're busy. I know you're building. I know you're trying to make a better life for for you. I know you're trying to get out of debt. I know you're trying to solve some financial crisis. And I know there's all kinds of things happening. But listen, Dad, you only get so much time with your kids, and then it is gone. You got to hurry home while it counts. You got to get to the dinner table while it counts. You got to get back to the marriage while it counts. Can I just say this today? And I'm so thankful. Good, solid summer crowd here today. And I'm glad that you're in the house. But let me encourage you. Set aside Sundays. No matter what, I'm going to get to the church. I've had conversations here where people have said, you know, you're a little different in the fact that, you know, you want us here every Sunday. Guilty. I don't know. I'd love for you to be here every Sunday. I realize that's not a reality, but I would love for you to be here every Sunday. Why? Because something good happens every Sunday. I know you have schedules and vacations and family and this and that. I get all of that. I'm not preaching against any of that. But hurry home. Hurry home. You may have to be gone, but oh, I want to get back because I don't want to miss what's happening at my church. I'm setting aside Sundays. I'm making this a priority because if the church is plan B in your life, if it's not a priority in your life, I promise you everything else will get in the way of your spiritual well-being. Everything. Everything. And then before you know it, you'll be missing for just the silliest excuses, the silliest of reasons. Hurry home. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Every one of us have thought something else was a good idea, that another way was a better plan. That grass was better. Oh, no, he said, hey, stay focused, stay connected, lean into this house, lean into this family, park yourself right here and just let the process keep working. And if you will stay faithful, then good things are going to come in your life. Hurry home. Number two, cultivate communication. Cultivate communication. In other words, work hard at understanding and being understood. Work hard at understanding others and being understood yourself. Negotiation is only successful when you win and I win. Negotiation is not successful if you're the only one getting your way. It's only good when we're both getting what we need. But can we be honest? We're texting each other from opposite sides of the house. We are. Kristen texted me this morning about picking up some water. I wasn't far from her at all. I was just in the other room down the hall, but don't go pick up that water. It's too easy. It's too easy in 2019. It's too easy to lose communication. Communication is so important. Do you realize the statistics say that the average couple spends 4 minutes a day in communication? 4 minutes a day. You're like, nope, not us, no. I'm talking about communication, sitting down, talking. Not just giving instructions, not just, hey, I need you to do this. But dialogue, back and forth, communication. Oh, we're texting it, we're emailing it, we're writing it on list somewhere. We have smartphones, and I appreciate everything this phone does. I can run the world from this phone, and I'm thankful for all of the technology. But can I tell you that with every blessing, there is a bit of a curse? Because we're lost in these, and our world is in these. And we got 4,000 friends on Facebook, and we don't know any of them. It's the truth. cultivate communication. Proverbs teaches us that the power of life and death, it's in the tongue. It's in our ability to communicate. It's in our ability to speak. That's where life and death is. I know that's often taught from a negative standpoint. Your negativity is killing you, and all of that is true, but guess what? The power of life is in my mouth as well. The power of life is in your mouth as well. It's in our ability to communicate with one another. Proverbs 13 and 17 says, an unreliable messenger stumbles into trouble, but a reliable messenger brings healing. Better communication brings better understanding. Probably some married couples in here that need to hit the reset button on communication. But not just moms and dads. It starts with us. But it's our kids being able to communicate with us as well. Can your kids tell you anything? Can you tell your kids anything? What does communication look like in your home? Better communication brings better understanding. Number three, nourish romance. Nourish romance. You spell that R-O-M. Where has intimacy gone? Talking to you, husbands and wives. Has it gone by the way of texting? Has it gone by the way of Facebook? Nourish romance. It's important in your relationship. Your kids ought to be scared to walk into your room. They ought to be coming in, Mom, Dad, I want a cookie. Is it safe to look? Nourish romance. If you go to bed dressed like a Supreme Court justice, man, I'm preaching good. Y'all ready for me to go to number four? Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. May you ever be captivated by her love. It means I'm not just trading this in. Not just throwing this away. And believe me, the opposite of that is true as well. Rejoice in the husband of your youth. It's not just a male to female thing, but it's a female to male thing. May you ever be captivated. I realize life happens and kids happen and all kinds of stuff happens and relationships, they're challenging, they're difficult, they're downright hard, they're maddening sometimes, they're rewarding, and then they are completely defeating. I mean, it's all of that. It's all of that just in, like, literally in the same week. We live all of that. We experience all of those emotions. All of those things happen. But this is something you have to fight for as a couple. Number four, celebrate differences. Celebrate differences. It's challenging because we're generally correcting differences. We're generally mocking differences. Celebrate differences. They say opposites attract. I don't know. In any couples here, you feel like you're opposites, just raise your hand. I see some hands. All right. Celebrate differences. Are differences irritating us, or can we use them to build something great? The reality is there are things that I'm good at that Kristen is not good at. There's things that she's good at that I'm not good at. Not very many, but there's a few. Just kidding. And instead of allowing that to become competition between you and your spouse, you got to find a way to build on that. And all right, we divide and conquer. You do what you're good at. I'm going to do what I'm good at. And we're gonna get on the other side of this, and we're going to see a great result. It's not just maritally, it's your kids. Your kids are different than you. Kids are different than you. My kids are different. I see so many similarities. Sometimes when they're both laughing, I can't tell them apart if I'm not sitting there looking. There are so many similarities in the two, and yet they are different. They are different in how they approach life. They're different in how they approach things that are meaningful or things that are exciting. Each of them have different emotional makeup, and you have to realize that you get to be who you are, and I'm not going to try to force you into a mold or try to demand you be this certain kind of way or put you in this box. I think sometimes we have the attitude that me parent, you kid, and you do what I say, and in 20 years we'll tell you what your opinion should be. It's not good. We're going to lose our kids way, way, way too early if we don't allow them to think and to feel and to express. We need to remodel this area of our homes. Proverbs 24:3 said, homes are built on the foundation of wisdom and understanding. More than likely, the wisdom is going to come from the older parental authority figure. They've lived life. They have some experience. They've walked the journey. They've been through some things. And it's going to require a lot of understanding on the part of everyone in the house. It do you well to know what the love language of your whole family is. How do they hear love? How do they receive love? What language are they hearing my affection in? When they do this, am I seeing that as something adversarial, or do I need to realize that's just the way they hear love? They express love. What is the love language of everyone in your house? Number five, I'm almost done. Number five is finish together. Finish together. Decide to stay together as a family. Not just for the sake of the kids. Choose to stay married. Sometimes it's more choice than it is feeling. I say it often, choices lead, feelings follow. We're addicted to feeling. We're addicted to experience. We're addicted to emotion. When we need to remember the power of choice, I'm making a choice. Malachi 2:16, for I hate divorce, says the Lord. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. I say that with full understanding that divorce happens. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's the only recourse. I understand that. If you've been divorced, you're going through a divorce, there is no judgment in this house. There is no one looking down at you. There is no one telling you, well, hold on just a minute. Listen, if you've sought counsel, if you've walked through, if you've done what you need to do, that may be the only option that you have. That doesn't mean that God likes it. Doesn't mean that anyone has to like it. Sometimes it's a reality of life. Sometimes it's unavoidable. Men, it doesn't all hang on you indefinitely. It takes two. But it's likely that as men, we're setting the temperature on this. The root of temperature is temper. How is ours, fellas? How are we doing? Can we finish this together? Number six, where I'll close today, is trust God. It'd be impossible for us to hurry home, cultivate communication, nourish romance, celebrate differences, finish together, if we do not trust God. Psalm 127 and 1, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord builds the house. Now, wait a minute, is he talking about church house? Sure. Is he talking about my house? Sure. House, unless the Lord builds it, unless the Lord is at the center of it, unless the Lord is the priority of the house, then all the work that is being done is wasted. When you get ready to remodel, I'm not a handyman. I'm not a construction person. I'm not a contractor. You get ready to do one of these projects, you better talk to the right person who knows what they're doing. They know whether or not this requires a 2x4 or 2x8. I don't even know the difference in those two things. But somebody does. And if you're going to remodel, if you're going to do anything that's going to last, you've got to find the right contractor for the job. We've all heard the horror stories. Some of us have seen them up close. This work was not done right. This was a bad job. This wasn't good. No. We can think we know how to build, but we need help. Maybe we've watched others build. Maybe we've seen other marriages. Maybe we rely on the way that we were parented. But unless the Lord builds a house. You remember Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, he was a carpenter. They referred to Jesus as the carpenter's son. I think history proves that Jesus was being trained and working as, being developed as. Sure, we knew the purpose, the plan, so did Mary and Joseph, but until that day comes, you're going to do something around this house, so you might as well know the difference in a 2x4 and a 2x8. So Jesus is working as a carpenter. He's a pretty good contractor. When you get ready for remodel in your life, when you get ready for change, when you get ready for reset, when you get ready to build, you ought to put God first. You ought to consult Him first. If you need help in your marriage, if you need help in your finance, if you need help with your kids, Pastor Darrell, I have that 14-year-old, or I have that 16-year-old, or that 17-year-old. They're in my house, and I feel like I've already lost the battle. Here's what I say to that. If they're breathing and you're breathing, then there's still hope. Not saying it's going to be easy. They're as stubborn as you are, probably. Boy, it really messes you up when you remind people that those kids are your kids. I mean, they're yours. They didn't just show up. They're yours. So how do we get through this? We got to depend on Jesus. Why would I not rely on Him? Why would I not choose Him? Why would I not make Him Lord of my life? say, hey, we can't do this. Our home needs you. We're not just going to have church at church. We're going to have church in our home. We're not just going to know who Jesus is when we get to the church on Sundays. We're going to know who he is in our home. Sound like a good plan? Father, I pray today for people, whatever the family looks like today, whether it's a single dad, single mom, struggling husband and wife, whether it's the perfect family of four or five, and all seems to be going just right. I pray, Lord, for every single family in this house today. Families that are hurting, families that are broken, families that are breaking, families that are feeling the effects of so much stress and difficulty and challenges have been unbelievable. And yet here we are, still together. Here we are. Divorce maybe, but have kids we need to focus on. Here we are, needing remodel, needing you to work, needing you to move, needing you to heal. While your heads are bowed, while your eyes are closed, there may be someone in this room today. There may be a whole family. There may be a husband and wife. There may be a mom, a dad. Your spouse may not be ready. This decision has to be yours, the decision to give your life fully, completely to Jesus Christ. Don't wait on them to get ready. You got to choose today who you will serve. I'm making a decision today.